Let's just spend 5 minutes reviewing that which we've seen in the past. You know, trying to work out who exactly is the author of our Mishnah, because the Mishnah has a Reisha and a Seifa, and then there's also the Mishnah in Makkos. So we try to engineer, orchestrate how to define the sheet of the Mishnah. And the Gemara started with Rabbah. Rabbah was of the opinion that in the case of Knas, we don't apply the Ptur of Kimle with the Rabbinate, and therefore you pay Knas. So that works out well with our Mishnah, that even though he was Ma'anis or Mafata a Psula, and he definitely violated a law, maybe even an Issa Kares in the case of Achoso in the Sefer, but he pays Knas. And the reason for that is because this principle with regard to Knas, the Knas is outside the pale of Kim Levi Derabamine. But then we get stuck with the next Mishnah, the Sefer, because there the Mishnah says that Baal Bito is Eina Mishalim Knas. And according to Rabba's understanding, based on Rabbi Meir, that there is a payment of Knas even if he's Chayv Misa, so then the Mishnah could not possibly be Rabba's Rabbi Meir.
When you say the Sefer, you mean the Mishnah that appears on Lamed
Vav?
Okay.
Right. Now, if on the other hand we attribute our Mishnah to Rabbi Nechuyah ben Akana, who's of the opinion that in the case of Chayvei Krisus there is no Knas because we apply the principle of Kim Lev Deramine to Chayvei Krisus, then we're stuck with Achoso. If we're going to go with Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds that in the case of Chayvei Krisus there's no Chiv Malkus, so we're rejecting Rabbi Nechuyah ben Akana, and we're talking about Chayvei Krisus, and there's no Chiv Malkus, and therefore, in the case of Achoso, there's nothing to neutralize the Chiv Knas, and hence he pays Knas. But what are we going to do with the Reisha of that Mishnah? And that's the case of Mamzeres, because there's a Lav and a Chiv Malkus, and we have a principle, Eino Lokeo Mishalim. So why is it that he pays Knas in the case of Mamzeres? And the Gemara basically says that depends upon the Machlokes Shim Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If you go like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that our Mishnah is talking about a case where there was no Hasrof Amalkus, as opposed to the Mishnah in Makkos where there was Hasrof Amalkus, then everything works out pretty nicely, because then we understand that Abba Al Mamzeres or Al Achoso, since there was no Hasra, there's nothing therefore to undermine the Chiyuv Knas. There's no Kim Levi the Ramine if there's no Malkus. And again, we're not holding like Rav Nechuyah ben Akana in terms of Chayvei Krisus, but we're going to be stuck if we hold like Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish understands that whether or not there was Hasra, we still apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbinate, which is called Chayvei Malkiel Shogigin Pturim Mimamon. So how are we going to learn our Mishnah? And the Gemara says that we have no choice, but if we want to go with Rabba, who holds that when there's a Chiv Malkus and a Chiv Mamon, then he gets Malkus and he doesn't pay, that's going to have to be like Rabbi Yochanan, that in the case of Chayvei Misos Malkiel Shogigin, meaning where there was no Asra, we don't apply the principle of Kim Lev Derabine, and therefore he pays Knas. So that's pretty much the sugya that we did yesterday. And today we're going to start with the sugya Tana Rabbana. We touched on it at the very end of yesterday's shiur, but we didn't really get into it. So where are we? We're on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, and we're counting up from the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up. You'll see the two dots there. Tana Rabbana. And we gave yesterday a short introduction to this brisa. We saw in our Mishnah that in the Sefer, the case of Chai Vekrisus, the Kares doesn't patter him up from Knas, meaning there's no Kimle B'Diramine. And therefore, in the case of Balach Osi pays Knas, we're not holding like Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And in the next Mishnah, which is the case of Misas Bezdin of Ba'al Bito, there, even in the case of Shogeg, we said that there's a din of Kimle Bidramine. But we also have to keep in mind, as we go through this brisa that we're about to embark upon, that our Mishnah says that there is knas even in the case of Chai Vekrisus, despite the fact that the mitzvah, the fulfillment of a lo seal isha, is impossible. That's our Mishnah. But you may recall that there was a brisa that we learned way back when on Daf Lamed, I think it was, of Rav Shim ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTimni,
Chavtet Amud Bet,
and they were of the opinion that if there's no velosia le'isha, if it's impossible to consummate the marriage, then there's no knas. And what we're going to see is a brisa that reflects the shita of that group of tanoim, namely that there's no knas unless there's velosia le'isha. Hence, in the case of a woman who's an erva, and maybe even Chavim Malkios, we'll see about Chavim Malkios, but certainly in the case of Chavim Krisus, there will be no knas against our Mishnah. And that's because there's no possibility of fulfilling what mitzvah? Velo seal isha. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, arayos, ushnios larayos. We're going to have a whole sugya now to try to understand what is arayos and what is shnios larayos. Let me just offer the classic interpretation of these words. The Gemara is going to change that, but in Shas, arayos means an isa kares, and we're talking about doraisa. So where shnios, which literally means a secondary kind of erva, is only drabbanan, and that would include, let's say, I'll just give one example, but there are many granddaughter, let's say. A granddaughter is still an erev, but a great-granddaughter already is already a shnius l'arayos. Now, assuming this Mishnah, this brisa that we're about to learn, reflects the, I'll call it the joint shita of Rav Shim ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTimni, that there's no knas unless there's velosia l'isha, then I understand arayos, because in the case of arayos, there's no possibility of velosia l'isha, but in the case of shnius l'arayos, which is only Durabonon, which means on a Doraisa level there is a mitzvah of Velosi Elisha, then we get into a whole issue about what's the status of a Durabonon vis-a-vis a Doraisa. But in any event, before we get into that, just to get through the reading of the Braisa, that's first level. The Braisa says, Ein lahem lo knas velo pitui. And the word pitui, Chaim, you mentioned this yesterday, means that there's no knas in the case of Mafata.
And stam knas is manes. In this price,
right? In this price, the knas means ones, and that's chamishim kesef for ones. And then pitui means the knas of a fata, which is the same 50 chamishim kesef. So the price has already excluded knas in the cases of arayos and shnios larayos. Now we go on to the next part of the price. So this is the middle part of the price. And here's another case of a woman who doesn't receive knas, but for a whole different reason. And that has to do with the definition of a nara, because the Torah says, I'm sorry, with the definition of a basula, because the Torah requires, in order to pay knas, that she be a basula. Hamema'enes, so she's married min rabbanon, she doesn't have a father to marry her off, she's a ketana, but one of the members of her family married her off. Once that marriage happens, we assume that they consummate the marriage and she's no longer a besula, as ein lo knas velo pitu. And now we get to the third part of our Mishnah, and this touches on a different condition in Knas, and that is that she be a Nara. So again, let's just, before we go on to the third part of the Mishnah, let's just summarize. The Reisha of the Mishnah says that you need Velosi Ali Isha in order to be Chayav Knas. The next part of the Mishnah, we'll call it the middle section, says that you need a Besula in order to collect Knas. And a Ma'enes, since she had this marriage relationship, albeit the Rabbanim, but she had an intimate relationship with her husband, she's no longer a Besula. Now we have another condition in the parish of Knas, and that's Nara. So the third case is going to exclude an islandess. So we'll have a discussion here about who an islandess is, but in any event, the Brisa says islandess ain lo lo knas lo pitui, because she's not a Nara. Now let's just understand, if everything is normal, a woman goes through three stages. Up until the age of 12, she's a ketana. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's a nara. From 12 and a half and on, she's a bogeres. There's one exception to that rule, and that's an islandess. An islandess is a woman, and I'll explain why, who skips the middle stage. She goes straight from being a ketana to being a gdola, or a bogeres. And what is this girl? Biological abnormality phenomenon. This is a girl who does not develop simone nara. And simone nara have to do with her puberty, her physical changes in her body. She skips that stage. She never actually goes through this. Rashi explains that the word islandess is actually a Hebrew word. You know, it sounds like a Greek word, you know, like androgynous, those kind of words. But Rashi identifies them, this word, as a Hebrew word. And it has to do with an ayal. Ayal is a male ram. And why is this woman compared to a male ram? Because just like a male cannot reproduce. A male cannot be a yoledes, obviously. So too an eyeless cannot be a yoledes, because she doesn't have the simonim of a nara, meaning the physical, biological phenomenon on her body of a nara. So let's go back to the Torah. The Torah says in the parash of Knas, whether it's ones or mafatu, we have the equation between the two, that we're talking about a nara. An islandess could never be a nara. Now, keep in mind that there are two ways of learning nara in the Torah with regard to ones. One way is to learn it that it means dafka nara. So the whole parsha of ones squeezes into a 6-month period of time, which is called narus. The other way of learning it is that the Torah means af nara, even a nara. But from ketana, once she becomes 3 years old, all the way up until she's 12 and a half, meaning katnus and naros, she gets knas. That's the sheet of the Chachamim back on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph at the beginning of that parak. This brisa that we're learning reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir that only a nara gets knas, but a ketana does not get knas. Hence, since an island is a ketana and then she's a bogeris and she's never a nara, she cannot collect knas. If this brisa would have reflected the sheet of the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir, namely that a ketana collects knas, then even an islandess would collect knas because she's a besula and she's a ketana and she gets knas. So again, keep this in mind as we go through the sugya. This brisa reflects the shita that only a nara receives knas, and this woman will never ever be a nara. She doesn't have simoni nara. So at what point does an islandess become a bogeres? So this is a sugya in a few places in Shas. Here in Ksubas will have it as well, that at the age of 20 she becomes a bogeres. So imagine, here's a woman who for the first 20 years of her life has the status of what? A ketana. And then when she hits her 20th birthday, she becomes a bogeres. So she goes from katnus to bagus. She never passes through the stage of narus. Hence, she could never collect knas. If you hold like Rabbi Meir, that knas, the Torah means nara and only nara. And finally, the Braisa concludes with another case that's excluded from Knas, and that's Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra. Eilo lo Knas velo Pitu. Now, this is a very strange statement. I mean, the Gemara is going to have problems with this because it seems absolutely obvious. This woman is a married woman. What happens is that the morning after he consummates the marriage, he comes running into Beis Din with a claim, which we'll see. Can he? You know, the big question is, can he substantiate that claim with proofs? But in any event, his claim is that he found it to be a ba'ula. Now again, when it says he found it to be a ba'ula, it means because he consummated the marriage with her. So clearly, she's no longer basula. Now, what he decided to do, and again, we'll have to learn the parasha of Motzi Shemra, is he divorced her. Okay, we'll have to see exactly in what cases he's allowed to divorce her, what he's not allowed to divorce. But in any event, he decided that he found her to be a ba'ula, and therefore he was tricked, he was duped into this marriage, and now he gives her a get. So now if somebody rapes this woman subsequently, obviously he doesn't pay knas, because she's not a basula. She's a woman who was already married. So the Rashba here comes up with a mind-boggling thesis, and he claims that there is a possibility of what's called Yotzeis Mishum Shemra, even though she's still a basula, in the physical sense, meaning biologically she's still a basula. And how do we know that she's still a basula? Because there are Edim that testify that they never got together. They were never in a private place together. Right? So you know that during Erusin she remains in her father's house. When they're ready for chuppah, the Oros takes the Arusa Mibes Aviha into the chuppah. Well, guess what? He never consummated the marriage. This whole story is a fabrication that he claims that he had a relationship with her and he found her to be a ba'ula. The whole thing is a lie. And how do we know he's lying? Because we have two witnesses who testify that they were never together in a private place. Mm-hmm. So in that case, she's still a basula. So the Rashba says, well, if that's the case, then this is a gevaldig chiddush here that she doesn't collect knas. But why doesn't she collect knas? And the Rashba says that there's a new halacha that's being formulated here at the end of this braisa, and that is that once a woman enters into nisuin, she has a din of a ba'ula. She's no longer basula. And that, even if there were witnesses that they never were together in a private place, they couldn't have possibly have consummated the marriage. But that's the Rashba. So again, if we had more time, and probably as we get more and more into the sugya, we'll have to research this, that a woman who's in a suah, once she enters into chuppah, we don't care what happens afterwards. She's already considered a ba'ula. Nisua equals ba'ula halakhically, not biologically. If you have testimony that she never had a yichud with him, then obviously she's still a ba'ula physically. But halakhically, she's called a ba'ula. Why? Because she had nisua. That, my friends, is an overview of this braisa, which has four parts to it. Now, we go back to the first part of the braisa. My arayos, umay shnios larayos. How do you translate the first case of the braisa? Elim, if we're going to go with the classic understanding that arayos means, and here we're turning to daf lamed vav amud aleph, bring out the schnapps, okay, is arayos mamish, and then shnios means me divrei sofrim. So we have arayos min haTorah. There's a whole parash in Achrimos that talks about arayos. And let's say if we go like Shimon HaTimni is the one who says that in Chayvei Krisus there's no knas, because you know you cannot fulfill velosia leisha lesbe havaya. So that's fine. And then we get to shnios. Those are arayos midivrei sofrim. In other words, these are harchakos, where the rabbanan enacted an iser for these more distant relatives, which are not included in the Torah Shavuksav in the Doraisa prohibition of arayos. For example, we'll give, let's say, the following example of of Shnios Larais, which I'll be Divrei Sofrim.
You mentioned great granddaughter.
Correct. Aim, Emo, V'Aim Oviv. Wow, this is amazing. What I mentioned is going down, meaning as we get to children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But here's a case of going up the ladder. And this is the case that Rashi quotes as an example of Shnios Larayos. He's talking about Aim Imo, which means his maternal grandmother, or Aim Aviv, which is his paternal grandmother. So that's interesting. If the male is the one who's having a relationship with a shnia in a grandmother situation, that's already a shnia l'arayos. And that, now everybody goes wild with this Rashi because it doesn't make any sense that the Braisa would exclude knas from a grandmother. Because I can promise you one thing, unless you believe in a different religion, but in our religion, there's no such thing as a grandmother who's a basula. That's an impossibility. So she's a basula by definition. There's no reason why the Braisa would have to exclude a grandmother, with all due respect to grandmothers. And they say that Rashi didn't mean to say that this was the case of the Braisa. Rashi was just using this as an example for the concept of Shneos Larais Midivrei Sofrim. Obviously these cases are excluded because, or by virtue of the fact that she's a Ba'ula. But the more, appropriate, or shall I say, relevant case of a Shneah in terms of Knas, meaning a Basula, would be Bas Bino, or Bas Bito. So we have Bito, we have Bas Bito, which is his granddaughter, and then we have Bas Bito, which is his great granddaughter, or Bas Bino. In other words, Bas Bino would be his granddaughter through his son, and Bas Bino is his great granddaughter, and that would be a case of a basula. And the Bryce is addressing this case to tell you that even though she's still a Basula, and even though the Easter Erva is only Midivrei Sofrim, nevertheless, there's no Knas. And the Gemara doesn't understand why.
Excuse me, Rabbi Berzer.
Yeah.
You said in most cases, the meaning of Shneo Mario is the Rabbanan.
Right.
Okay. So it's not just Abba Mina here, that's the normal.
Right, that's the classic understanding. That's why the Gemara investigates this possibility first and completely rejects it. Why? Because cave unto the Raisa Chaziale, since on a Daraisa level, the Pasuk of Alosi Elisha would apply on a Daraisa level. So again, I can't even imagine a girl marrying her great grandfather, right? Her, did I get that right?
Yes.
Her great grandfather, but that's a possibility, right? On a Daraisa level. Is Amai Elam Knas? We exclude a woman from Knas, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTimni, because of a low seal of Isha. Well, on a Daraisa level, she is included in Velo Seal of Isha. She's Re'uyali Naselo. She's fit for marriage on a Daraisa level. So why would I exclude her from Knas? And here you have a gigantic controversy this is the Kesev Mishnah and the Mishnah Melech. I mean, this Tusuk Velten here, the worlds are going up in smoke here. Such issues here, because the truth is that even if the status of this Isur is only Derabbanan, but the Torah itself says that you have to listen to the Rabbanan. That's not a rabbinic convention. The Torah says Lo Toser Mikol Sheyerucha. And the Kesef Mishnah points out that if there's Lo Sosur, then you cannot apply the principle of Lo Si Elisha. When the Torah says Lo Si Elisha, it doesn't tell you to marry a woman who is Asura Alecha Min Rabbanon, because if she's prohibited Min Rabbanon, then it comes under Lo Sosur. The Torah itself grants authority and recognizes the Harchakos, the enactments of the Rabbanon, and therefore there's no Lo Si Elisha.
You could say, though, that as long as we're just drashing, Lo Ter Isha means Beromat Doraita.
But how does the Gemara know that? I mean, the Gemara doesn't even blink about this. Now the Gemara is going to reinterpret Arayas and Shnius L'Arayas, but completely throw this out of the ballpark. But why? Maybe we could say that even mid Arayas she's not Chazile. Why? Because since the Rabbanon have authority to institute whatever Xeris they institute, therefore the Torah recognizes those Isurim. The Torah's not going to tell you, well, don't blink. Who cares about the Rabbanon? We only care. So what's this lashon that came in the Raisa Chazile? And based on this, the Mishnah Melech comes up with a whole different pshat in this sugya. He's going to learn that this below seal isha that the Gemara is talking about has nothing to do with the mitzvah of marrying her. Clearly, in this case of Shnius L'Arayos, right? If a great grandfather would have an onus or a pitui with his great granddaughter, there would be no marriage because the Rabbanon put a stop to that. That's called Shnius L'Arayos. But the issue is whether there's a knas. That's the issue, because we have to define which woman is included in the parasha. And what the Gemara is trying to tell you is that according to Shimon HaTimni, as long as this Behavaya, in other words, if he would marry this woman, the Torah would recognize that marriage, then she's included in the parasha. So when the Gemara says, Amai Elam Knas, came in the Midraisa Chazile, the Gemara is not asking anything about marriage. Certainly, without a doubt, Velosi Leisha as a Chiv to marry her would certainly not apply. There's no essay dochalosas over here. But what the Gemara wants to know is she included in the parish of Knas? Is she not included in the parish? So Shimon HaTimni says, well, she's excluded from the parish of Knas in the case of an Erevo. Let's talk about an Erevo Doraisa, because there's no Avaya. There's no possibility of Tiel Isha. But in the case of Shnius L'Arayo, certainly there's Tiel Isha. Certainly there's Yisbe Avaya. And therefore, she should be included in the parish of Knas. Why does the Braisa exclude her from Knas? Now, if on the other hand we go with Rav Shimon ben Menasya, let's just go back for a second to the Aflamin Oman Aleph. Rav Shimon ben Menasya is of the opinion that everything depends upon Isha Ruvi L'Kaima. And in the case of Isha Ruvi L'Kaima, if that's your definition, then we could say that this is Eina Ruvi L'Kaima, and that's based on the principle of Lo Sosur, that since the Torah says that there's authority in the Chacham, so in the case of Shnius L'Arayas, we have a case of an Isha Ruvi L'Kaima. Or alternatively, it's not Ruvi L'Kaima, because we're going to force him to divorce her in order to be Mekayim Lo Sosa, because the Rabbanan instituted a status of an Iser. Once the status of Iser is generated by the Rabbanan, then we have to break up this marriage. Because again, the Torah recognizes the authority of the Rabbanan. If you ask me, would there be Knas? So then according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, there will not be Knas. But according to Shimon HaTimni, we're talking about whether the marriage is a valid marriage, b'di'evid. Does the Torah recognize the Havaya, the issues? And the answer is yes. This is a valid issues. Ella says the Gemara, Arayos chayve misis bezden, shnios chayve krisis. In other words, the Gemara now is taking the word shnios in a much more liberal interpretation. It doesn't mean shnios midivrei sofrim, it means secondary isurim. And we introduce the theory of relativity. So we have a whole totem pole, a whole pyramid of isurim. On the top, we have the most severe isur, which is chayvei misis bezdin, like the example that we gave a Baal Bito, a Baal Eishes Aviv, whatever it might be. And then we go down one notch to chayvei kresos. And chayvei kresos are secondary in the sense that they do not generate misa. For example, Baal Achoso. The Bryce wants to tell you that there's no knas, neither in the case of a chayvei misis bezdin, like Baal Bito, nor in the case of Baal Achoso, which is chayvei kresos. And Umani Shimon HaTimnihi. And this Bryce is authored by Shimon HaTimni. Because Shimon HaTimni says it all depends on his Be'avaya or less Be'avaya. Now, in both cases of Chayvei Misas Bezen and Chayv Krisus, there's no Havaya. And since there's no Havaya, therefore there's no Knas. Because she's not included under Velo Sealish. Nu, ask me the question, what is the Brisa coming to teach me according to Shimon HaTimni? It's coming to tell me that in the case of Chayv Lavim, if we go down one more notch on this pyramid, there would be Knas. Why? Because Kedushin Tovsin B'Chayv Lavim. We're not going like Rabbi Akiva here. Shimon HaTimni holds like the Rabbanon that the cutoff point for Hafkas Kedushin, what's called E-Tfisas Kedushin, is Chayv Krisus. Anything below Chayv Krisus, there is Tfisas Kedushin. Hence, in the case of Chayv Lavim, like Bamzeres, there would be Knas because she is included under Velosi Elisha, that Shimon HaTimni. So this Brisa is authored by Shimon HaTimni. That's according to the first interpretation we're about to embark upon, the second one. And therefore, in the cases of Arayos and Shnios Larayos, Shnios meaning Chayvei Kresos, there is no Knas. But Chayvei Lavim, Yesh Lehem Knas. And it all depends on Isbe Avaya or Lesbe Avaya. Ika Diamri, another interpretation of the Raisa, Arayos, Chayvei Mises Bezin, V'Chayvei Kresos. In other words, the word Arayos overarches both Chayvei Krisus and Chayvei Misos and Chayvei Krisos. So Chayvei Krisus is now elevated to the it's in the club called Arayas here in this Brisa. So what is Shnios? Is Chayvei Lavin. And it means that even in the case of Chayvei Lavin, like Mamzeres or Nesina, there is no Knas. Mani, who's the author of the Brisa then? Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, he who holds a Velosi Elisha means Isharu L'Kaima, and in the case of Chayvei Lavim, she's not an Isharu L'Kaima, hence she's excluded from Knas. Now it's very interesting because according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, the question would be if he went and he married her, would he have to divorce her? And if he would have to divorce her, that's enough to take her out of the parasha of Knas because she's not described or categorized as Velosi Elisha. He would have to divorce her. However, if there would be a case where he does not have to divorce her, if we could come up with such a case, then Rav Shimon ben Asi would say that she's included in the parasha of Knas. Hence, in the case of Arayos Dirabonon, meaning Shnios, in the classic interpretation of Arayos Dirabonon, where on a Doraisa level it's Ru'uya L'Kaima, one can extensively argue, I mean again you have to analyze this very carefully, that she would get Knas. This despite the argument that we mentioned before, the Kesef Mishnah, that every Dirabonon is included under Lo Sasu. So it's very beautiful now. We have two interpretations of this Braisa. One interpretation means that Arayos is limited to Chayvei Mises Bezin, and Shnios therefore is referring to Chayvei Kresos. And then we're going to say that in the case of Chayvei Lavim there is Knas, and that's Shimon HaTimni. Because Ispe Havaya is Tfisas Kedushin, Chayvei Lavim. The second interpretation is that Arayos includes not just Chayvei Mises Bezin, but also Chayvei Kresos. Shnios therefore includes the next level, which is Chayvei Lavim. And then we're reflecting the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Manasseh that as long as it's not Ruya L'Kaima, she's not included in Velosi Elisha, and hence there's no Knas. So therefore, even in Chayvei Lavim, there's no Knas. Okay, that's as far as what we call Roman numeral number one in the Brisa. Now we go to numeral number two in the Brisa. So let's go back to the Brisa.
I just have an observation. The Mishnah, which we started with way back when, has its own viewpoint, but this Gemara here is exploring the opinions of the Shimon HaTimni and the Shimon ben Manasseh, which they are negative halacha, or
they are what? I didn't catch.
They're against the halacha, right?
Well, I don't know the halacha. We'd have to open up a Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But they're certainly against our mission.
Yes.
Correct. And that was what the Gemara pointed out way back on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis. And the language of the Gemara was very clear over there. The Gemara says, what was it? Lafuki. Lafuki mehaitan. that, and now it's very interesting because there's like Mishnaic literature and then there's Braisa literature. So Rav Yehuda Nasi, he left this all out of the Mishnah, right, because yeah, he was of the opinion that the Mishnah is correct and Velosia Leisha has nothing to do with Knas. They're two separate independent things. That was actually the introductory shiur that I gave when we started in Lunas. The Braisa, on the other hand, holds that Velosia Leisha defines Knas. It really whittles down and restricts Knas. So now we go to the second piece in the Braisa, and that's Mima'enes Ein Lo Knas. Okay? Now again, we understood that Mima'enes Ein Lo Knas is simply because she's a Bu'ula. Okay? And that seems pretty logical. However, the Gemara wants to be Medayik from the Braisa. The Braisa is telling us the following. Mima'enes, by definition, is a ketana. A ketana would collect knas unless she was married off as a ketana, and then she's no longer basula. That's called mima'enes. So let's look at the Braisa, the Gemara's diuk in the Braisa. How mima'enes ain lo knas for lo pitui? Not because she's a ketana, but because she's a mima'enes, meaning that she was married off. Her ketana, the implication is the fact that she is a ketana, that itself would not exclude her from knas. Her ketana bi'alma, a general ketana who's not married off, isla, would collect knas. Mani, then who's the author of this Braisa? Rabbanan hi di amri ketana yesh lo knas. So that sounds good. The Braisa is attributed to the Rabbanan, who hold that from the age of 3 until the age of 12 and a half, she collects knas. And in the case of Ma'enes, she doesn't get knas because she's a bu'ula. But the fact that she's a ketana, that doesn't upset the knas. But then we say Ema Seifa. Well, let's go to the next case of the Braisa. And it says, Eilanis, Eila lo knas velo pitui. Now, wait a second. We said that the problem with Eilanis is that she skips one state in the middle. Namely what? Naris. She goes straight from katnus to bagus. Well, why shouldn't she collect the knas as a ketana? Also, Rabbi Meir, the Omer ketana eila knas. We're really in a bind over here because Mima'enes Ein Lo Knas implies that a ketana would collect knas. But in the Sefer, when it gets to the case of Eilanis, she doesn't collect knas even though she's a ketana. V'mikatnusa yotzo lebagar. She remains a ketana straight from birth until she's 20 years old. And therefore, if a person is Ma'anis or Mafata and Eilanis, well, guess what? According to the Rabbanon, there should be knas. Why? Because she's a ketana. The Rabbanan hold that ketana is included in the parasha of knas. We're really in a bind over here. This is what you call diyukim sosrim. There are two diyukim that are sosrim, one the other, from the ratio to the sefer. So the Gemara tries to say that, you know what, maybe this price has to be cut up into pieces. And the ratio Rabbanan, the sefer Rabbi Meir. You know, there's no integrity in this Braisa, so to speak. It's not one whole entity. But we really have to break it up. And if you're talking about Mima'enes implying that had she been a ketana, she would collect knas, that's that reflects the sheet of the Rabbanan of Rabbeir. But if you're talking about Eilanis, and you're telling me that Eilanis doesn't connect knas because she's not a Naira, but she is a ketana, is say, fuck your Rabbi Meir. That can only reflect the sheet of Rabbi Meir, who holds that a ketana does not collect knas.
Did we see this elsewhere in our parak, breaking up a right? I've come across that, I can't remember if it's in this shul or another shul.
Well, we come across what? This particular Braisa?
I sang a single Braisa.
Oh, yeah. The Gemara's all over Shas like this. I mean, the Gemara's not always happy with that. It's a real fallback position. You know, Reisha Kirabonan and Sefer Kirabi Meir. You know, that's not Goliath, as we say in Yiddish. It's not smooth.
But it's within the rules of the game.
Within the rules of the game.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Again, the Gemara's usually going to try to try to see if we can find a way of reconciling the Reisha and the Sefer so that it fits in with one sheet. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to try a possibility of interpreting the entire Braisa like Rabbi Meir, and then the Gemara is going to try another possibility that maybe the entire Braisa could be like Rabbi Yehuda. We'll soon see who Rabbi Yehuda is. V'chi teiman, if you'll say Kula Rabbi Meir, he. Oh, so if we're talking about Rabbi Meir in this Braisa, then of course my mind is saying look knas, because had she been a katana, just 1 second. Oh, so now we're stuck with the ratio. Let's try the safe. Bishleim, I understand the safe for Rabbi Meir. That goes without saying. That's smooth as you can get, because an islandist is a katana, and Rabbi Meir holds that a katana does not collect knas. But what about the diuk in the ratio of Mimayenis, which implies that Mimayenis, because she's a married woman, so to speak, midrabbanan, she's married, and therefore she's a ba'ula, because her husband and consummated the marriage with her. Therefore, she's excluded from knas. But the implication is the fact that she's a ktana, that itself per se would not exclude her from knas. How can it be Rabbi Meir? The answer is that this brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir, the ktana ein lo knas, but also reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that there's such a thing as a ma'enes who's a nara. Now that sounds a little strange, because the Torah recognizes a nara as a bardas, meaning her kinyonim and her kedushin, anything that she does is valid. In the case of a boy, he only gets das when he's 13. But in the case of a girl, when she's 12, she's already considered a bardas. And if that be the case, how can you talk about kiddushei miyun? Kiddushei miyun means the Torah doesn't recognize her ability to enter into an ishus relationship because she's not a bardas. Well, that's true in the case of a katana, but once she hits 12 and she's a bogeres, she's a nara, at that point she has das and therefore her kiddushin should be valid. Well, how can you call her a mema'enes? And this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that the marriage is not consummated, does not upgrade from a derabbanan to a deraisa simply by the fact that she became a nara. That per se does not change the issues and upgrade the issues. We need one other element, and that is kesef shtar abia. Now, what happens to a case where the girl was married off while she was a katana? That's called kedushei miyun. And she became a nara, but they never consummated the marriage. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, she's still a mamayenis, meaning the kedushin is not valid midoraisa. The Torah can't recognize this kedushin because she didn't have neither kesef shtar abia. Again, she's old enough for that, but that just never happened. So she's 12 years old and she's still considered Mema'enes. And that's what it says in this Braisa, that Mema'enes ain lo knas, even though she's a Nara. And that could work very well according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that a Nara gets knas, not a Ketano. But here's the case of a Nara and she doesn't get knas. And why doesn't she get knas? So we go back now to the Rashba that we discussed, that she's already considered like an Asua. She has a quasi cheskas ba'ula. Even though Lamaisa, physically, she is a basula. So v'chite makula Rabbi Meir u'bimema enes sovrale ki Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Meir embraced the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that even after she reaches the age of a Nara, she still is included under Mema'enes, meaning the Kiddush of the Ishus is only Drabbana. No need for get. So now we can maintain the integrity of this Braisa. The ratio of the Braisa tells you that in the case of Mema'enes, even though she's a Nara, she doesn't get Knas. And the Sefer tells you that an islandist who's a katana doesn't get knas, because Rabbi Meir holds that a katana doesn't collect knas. So the Gemara rejects this, but hold your horses, because the Gemara doesn't actually reject it. Mm-hmm. The Gemara just changes a very important screw here, turns it the other way. But could it be possible that Rabbi Meir accepts Rabbi Yehuda as far as Mimaenis is concerned? I'm going to prove to you from a brisa that in fact Rabbi Meir is the bar plugta of Rabbi Yehuda. Vatanya admosai abas Mimaenis. So we start with the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is going to tell us that she's only Mimaenis as long as she's a ketana. But once she reaches the age of 12, Achetovish Tesaris, plus she has what's called Simone Narus. So at that moment, she becomes a Nara. And now, there's no such institution as Miyun here. If you want to break up this marriage, says Rabbi Meir, you would need a get. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Even though she brought Shtei Saros, she could still be Mimaenis. And that's assuming that after she became a Nara, they did not consummate the marriage. So there was never a Kedushei Be'ila. And this, by the way, touches on a whole sugyan unto itself, whether Kedushei Be'ila needs Kavana L'Shem Kiddushin, or just the fact that they're living together as husband and wife, that itself makes Bia into Kiddushin Bia.
But they would also have to be living together. A one night stand wouldn't do it.
Well, again, if you're talking about a marriage that's been going on for years, Chaim, again, what's happening over here? She was married off by her mother or her brother when she was 8 years old, 9 years old, whatever age she was, correct? And now she reaches Naros. She reaches a state of being a Nara, and they consummate the marriage. So that's not, you know, that Bia has to be seen as a Bia Ishus. Do you follow what I mean?
Right, no, that I understand.
Right. Now, what's Achiyarba Shachar al Halavan? This is a different shiur of Narus of Rabbi Yehuda, and she needs what's called, I'll just read it to you, we have to take a course of biology here, but it is Asha Saros Misarchos. So it's not just two Saros, which is Kedei Netilas, you know, you take a knife and you can cut off a Saro, a hair. No, it's got to be Misarchos, to the point at which it's Machasos as Rubo Shel Mokom. So the whole area becomes dark in color, right?
Oh, the Levon here is the skin.
I didn't catch what the first
the Levon,
word.
The Levon is the skin. It's not
right.
White hair.
Correct. The Shachar, the dark part, covers that part of her body, so it looks black as a result of the hairs, you know. So that's not Shtei Saros, and you know, the very small Saros, like, you know, in Paraduma, you know, if you have two Saros that you can, you know, just large enough to cut them, that's already passes the, I mean, two Saros Shachoros, that passes the Paraduma. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, in Nazir, you know, the Easter of Tiklachas Nazir. So, here we have a coin to review, the whole new shear, and we need what's called Nishtanamar Eyu Shalosom Mokom. It becomes dark in color. Again, not that the pigment of it, not the pigment of the skin, but the color from the Saros. And only from that point on, there's no possibility of Miyun. Now, what this brisa is, again, these are already intricate or details of the laws of Miyun, is that although Rabbi Yehuda agrees that technically she is a Nara, because she has Shtei Simonim, Shtei Saros, but nevertheless, she could continue to be a Mimaenes, despite the fact that she's an Ara, until Achiyarva Shachar Alova. Again, we would have to understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why the shear of Achiyarva Shachar Alova establishes the end point, the point of no return as far as Miyun is concerned. But suffice it to say that technically she is a Nara, and she's still a Mimaenis, because again, they never had a Be'ila, and hence there was no Kedushei Torah. And there is Miyun. But again, who's the Bar Plug to Rabbi Yehuda? That's the point that we want to emphasize here. It's none other than Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda accepts Rabbi Meir, as far as Mema'enis is concerned, to say that she is a Mema'enis despite the fact that she's a Nar, because Rabbi Meir himself is the Bar Plugta who says that Miyun, the cutoff point for Miyun, is Shtei Saros. Once she has Shtei Saros, she's a Nar, and there is no Miyun. Elos, the Gemara says, maybe we can switch it around. Rabbi Yehuda, maybe this Brisa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And again, even though she's a Nara, she's included in Mema'enes, right? So, you know, the deed that we had before, that from Mema'enes, that Dafka Mema'enes ain't Lakas, but Nara Yesh Lakas, he says, Ketana Savrala Kirabi Meir. As far as a Ketana is concerned, she would not have a Knas. And why would she not have a Knas? Because Rabbi Meir holds there is no Knas in a Ketana. Now we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda accepts the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that there's no Knas in a Ketana. So it's very good. Mema'enes ain't lo Knas, even though she's a Nara. And in the case of an island, is what we're going to say is that even though she's a Ketana, but because she's a Ketana, if we hold like Rabbi Meir, there is no Knas. So the Gemara says that's also not good. But Misovrala, can you really pin down Rabbi Yehuda to the sheet of Rabbi Meir as far as Ketana is concerned? The Ketana does not get collect Knas. For Rabbi Yehuda Marav, when the Mishnah later on speaks about Tashlumi Knas with regard to a Ketana, the Mishnah establishes a Ketana doesn't collect Knas, says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, Zodiri Rabbi Meir. That's the unique sheet of Rabbi Meir. Whereas all the other Tanoim maintain that she would collect Knas, despite the fact that she's a Ketana. V'im Isan, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees to Rabbi Meir as far as this din that Ketana ain't lo Knas, then Rabbi Yehuda Marav is not formulated precisely. He should have said, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda Miboyle. That's what it should have said. And yeah, this is a very strange kind of diuk. Maybe they were mentioning Rabbi Meir because the Shita was famously attributed to Rabbi Meir. No, the Gemara assumes not like that. The Gemara assumes that it was clear from our Brisa, according to this interpretation of the Brisa, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir that Ketana does not get Knas. Then therefore that should have been mentioned here, not to leave Rabbi Meir as a lone stranger, as a lone soldier, but it should have mentioned this. So Gemara answers, Hai Tana, this is the final conclusion, Savrala ki Rabbi Meir b'chada, upolagale b'chada. In other words, the author of Brisa is neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda. He accepts Rabbi Meir as far as Ketana is concerned. So therefore an islandess, even though she's a Ketana, or shall I say, because she's a Ketana, she doesn't collect Knas. But as far as the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir with regard to the status of a Mema'enes, right, with regard to Mema'enes, we're going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda that even after she becomes a Nara, she's still a Mema'enes, and that's the case that the Rice is addressing, and Mema'enes doesn't collect Knas. So at this point, we're going to stop because I think we're running out of time. Maybe I could borrow a pencil for a split second. And we'll pick up Rafram, which is another interpretation of this Brisa, tomorrow. And I wish everyone a great day. We